Switch. Welcome back, everyone, to the Sales Squad, where Glenn Oswald and Simon Severino are here to serve you in the moment when you need it most, when you have to take a big decision. Like in the past weeks, we helped you decide if you should go high ticket or low ticket, if you should do inbound marketing or outbound marketing. This week, the decision is, should you optimize for short-term revenues or long-term revenues? We all know that moment when we could make some cash this year, but is it the right thing to do? Or should we shoot for something that's longer, but then maybe we have a short-term cash crunch? When to go for long-term, when to go for short-term? When do we want to just win the quarter, and when is it about winning forever? Glenn and I are here prepared for you. We will share some personal experiences, some cases from our client work. We're coaching entrepreneurs like you every day, week in, week out, since decades. Glenn is incredibly good with everything, finances and restructuring. So let's look at this. We will start with pros and cons of the short-term optimization of revenues. Then we go to pros and cons of long-term optimization so that you can take your best decision. If you cannot ask your question in the chat right now in the live, shoot us an email later. You can shoot me a message on X at Simon Severino, and we can answer it in the comments or just answer you one-on-one. So, Glenn, are you ready? Short term.
I'm ready. I'm ready, Simon. Okay. All right. I'm going to take the short term, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here and just advocate for short term goals. So when we think about short term, what we're really looking at is how can I boost my revenue and my profits right now? So I'm confined by my time horizon. So I'm confined in my thinking by this time horizon, whether it be 30 days or 90 days. So I can't consider anything beyond that time period when I'm plotting my course. So this really sort of limits us to what activities can we do right now. You know, I can tell you what I can't do. I can't go and design a car that's an electric car that's going to compete with Tesla. I can't train a new AI model. I don't have time for that. I've got to get something done right away. Okay, so as far as my activity goes, well, what can we do? We can, you know, we can call clients, we can call prospects, we can upsell, we can cross-sell. These are things we can do right away. And I've had clients, and I've dealt with distressed businesses where, you know, we don't have the luxury of thinking long-term. It has to be right now. We've got to get cash to put in the bank tomorrow. And so those are the things that we can do right away. As well as, you know, hey, maybe there's a new marketing channel to tackle, or we can double our ad spend. These are quick things that serve the short-term time horizon. So it's kind of looking for the next best source of sales and cash. I'd say the benefits here is it's lower risk, requires a smaller investment, right? It doesn't cost a lot to call your existing clients. And you can get results quickly. So you get faster results. And I say, you know, some of the other benefits as far as your team goes is these types of goals will instill urgency. They'll inspire action. And you can maintain progress this way because we're always active and we're thinking about today and we're thinking about tomorrow. We can easily revise if something's not working. Okay, let's try something else. But we're kind of going after that cash, and we're quickly changing directions. You on board with all of that?
Yes, probably the hard part, because as long as every time it makes cash immediately and it doesn't damage the brand, it's a no-brainer, right? Let's go directly. So when is it actually hard to decide? When you can make some short-term money, but it can damage long term. Or, for example, I could send 3 emails this week to everybody on my email list, and emails that are very salesy, like, guys, buy this one thing. I could do that. It would.
Yeah, sure. I agree. But I agree. You're going to wear out your customers that way. And they,
exactly.
They start thinking, you know, what can I get from you? Not how can I help you? So, sorry, continue.
Exactly. Those are the moments. Another moment would be, for example, I had to take a decision 7 years ago when we moved from having enterprise clients and we said, no, let's bring our sprint tools to the solopreneurs, to the small, tiny teams, because they needed the most. And I knew, okay, this can mean losing $500,000 in cash flow for maybe a year, maybe 2 years. I hope it's just 6 months, but can you really know that? So what can you afford to not make in terms of cash flow? And I was literally in front of my spreadsheet and looking how many months runways do I want to put at risk for taking a long-term decision, because I knew in 10 years we can be positioned very, very well to serve the people who needed the most, the small businesses. But so the question was, okay, how many months in runway do we have, or years in runway do we have to risk that? And I was literally counting the months. Is it over 9 months? Then I do it. Is it less than 9 months? Then it's risky. So what's the runway? And then what's the right thing to do? But the team discussion was tough, because traditionally you always go up. Every business coach will tell you, move up the chain, move to bigger budgets. And I think there are some really good arguments for that. But we wanted to serve a specific population that needs it and that was underserved. And our assumption was 10 years later, they will need it and they will be a lot. That will be a huge market. And enterprises will need different things and also will not be the most dominant thing in society 10 years later. So I'm glad that we took that decision. It was very, very hard 6 months. And during those 6 months, I was like, did I take the right decision? Can we accelerate this? So those are the hard moments. Then there is also an easy moment. For example, right now we are coaching a financial institution in Germany, and we are just creating short-term wins by changing a little thing in their CRM. We added a plugin, an AI plugin, to their current CRM. It's one of the big CRMs. We just added one plugin and one habit. So in the meeting, we changed the questions they ask in the sales meeting. They have a weekly sales meeting. And this one plugin analyzes the conversations to all clients. They have 40,000 leads right now in their CRM, but only 25 salespeople. So they need to prioritize, okay, who should I call? Where is the highest probability for an upsell? And so it goes through all the current clients, analyzes the language of those emails, and tells them, according to the language in the last emails, those are the top 40 people you should call this week, because you have the highest probability of upselling. And so that's a short-term win. That's just a very good idea. And it wasn't hard to implement. We just had to aggregate data in a little different ways and align the data a little bit better and change that one part of the meeting.
Yeah, I like a couple of things that you said there. One is that, you know, as the businesses get smaller, as you get to a small business or a solo entrepreneur, you know, thinking long term is very risky, because those risks are personal. You know, this isn't just a corporate budget that's at risk. This is your life savings that's at risk. So it can be very fearful to think long term. And so, you know, you tend to shift short term hey, what can I do? And it's a continuous series of short-term goals. The problem with the short-term goal setting is that it can be exhausting. And you're wandering around in the dark, and it's a never-ending treadmill of new initiatives. I don't know that you build customer loyalty and trust that way in the long term. And like I said before, you kind of wear out your customers.
One more thing about the short term. Many marketing agencies that we are coaching, they face this huge decision. Do we take part in RFPs or not? If you take part in RFPs, you usually get projects that suck. They are not super profitable. It's not efficient to be part of those pitches. And it's not the best projects. It's also not the best clients. Everybody knows that, but it's creating a steady inflow of cash. So agencies we work with, they try to have 1/3 of the pipeline coming from RFPs. Now, many of those we challenge and say, what if you say no to RFPs and deliberately build your brand instead? So you say no to 1/3 of the cash flow of this year, knowing that if you survive the next 2 years, then you have a much stronger positioning in the market, because people who say no are a stronger brand. Think of Apple, Tesla, they don't do RFPs, right? They are a strong brand because they pick their customers, they say no, they command the price. Hermes doesn't make any discounts. It's the price maker, not a price taker. You don't send an RFP to Hermes. Nobody does that because of their positioning. So with some of those agencies, we did it. And those were terrible months for them, right? But the ones who came up in the other side, they are now price commanders in their industry. And their brand is stronger. But this is something that asks you to think in 10 years. And you cannot compute that on a spreadsheet anymore. This is a qualitative decision, long-term strategy decision. Is building our brand more important than, you know, securing 1/3 of the cash flow during the year? It's a very important, I don't think it's an easy decision. I think you can decide both ways and be right. But this is something that we've done many times. And at Strategy Sprints, we don't do RFPs. We immediately say, thank you for asking. We don't play this game. You can book a sprint anytime if you want so. But we will not dance around on a stage with other people. That's not what we do.
RFPs, you know, with some other things, were created to, you know, limit risk for the buyer in the sales process. And what that also does is it limits or deletes the ability to create trust during the sales process and to co-create during the sales process, because they've already determined this is what I need, and they may be wrong. So
exactly.
RFPs are kind of a speed bump in the process.
And another example is, I get asked a ton of times, Simon, you could sell the Sprint University just as a course. So can I have just the training? Can I have just the tools? Let me pay $6,000 a month just to have access to the tools and to the courses in the Sprint University. Or that's on the client side. Or friends and advisors saying, Simon, you could make a ton of cash just by selling the course. And there is something to be said about that, and we have discussed it internally. But you would dilute the brand, because you can be, you know, a training or an education brand, or you can be a transformation brand. It's very different if you're actually transforming the life and the business of people, or if you're just a little bit educating them. It's a huge difference, especially because when we took that decision, that was 5 years ago, the assumption was in 10 years, education will be commoditized. You can learn everything for free on YouTube, and there will be even more access to even more knowledge. So I don't want to.
Sure, or even an AI now creating, hey, AI, please create me a customized course right here for me.
Yes.
I agree. That's the ultimate.
The assumption was right. And so the decision was, again, do we accept to not make 300,000, 400,000 in this particular year, knowing that we position ourselves stronger for the future? So again, thinking 10 years and deciding what's the risk we want to take. So what's the risk we can afford to take and we want to afford to take? Also, a client, like you get a client, you know, oh, I can close that deal. I can take on that project, that client. But you feel it's not in alignment with who you are and with what you stand for. That's always a decision. Okay, should I take it just for the money? And just this time, just this year, I will not prolong that. Or do you stay in integrity? Same thing, you have to go back to your cash flow management, look at the runway. But then it's also a long-term decision because that's a slot that you don't have available for your dream client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes, yes, we sell our souls for money occasionally, but as long as we're helping them, and they're getting a benefit, taking the money is, and that serves the short-term goal. But that may not be the right client, I agree. And it may not be the best long-term relationship that we want. Or they may not have the referrals that we really desire. So it's some of those things outside just the service and the cash that we need to look at.
We have inserted into our CRM a field called cultural fit. You can give 5 stars like on Amazon. 5 stars, it really fits. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then 2 stars, oh, that's a red flag, right? But it's one of multiple information points in deciding if we take somebody as a sprint client. But it is one because, if there are multiple red flags, yes, it can create short-term cash flow. Long term, it might demotivate your team. The team that's actually delivering the work might be totally frustrated. Mm-hmm. They can leave your team. It can create a bad reputation outside because people talk to each other in the age of the internet. So it might spread around. Oh, that project is not going well. I am with this brand. It's not going anywhere. So that's pretty
reputation risk. I agree. Just focusing on the short-term goals and taking whatever clients come along, the organization can suffer. So you can lower morale. You can have higher turnover. So yeah. better clients is better for the business.
And every time we pivot to a better fit client, we are risking to have a couple months, maybe a couple years of a cash crunch. So it's actually, it happens pretty often that we have to decide long-term winning, short-term cash. And sometimes it's smaller decisions. Do we take on this project? Even in hiring, I have made so many mistakes in hiring because I wanted to hire quickly. When we identify a task that we are ready to delegate or to scale, I can't wait to give it to somebody. Mm-hmm. And so we start posting, we get some interviewees in, and many times I didn't have the patience to say, no, let's look at 30 more candidates because it's so much work. And I was like, if I can just cut this process by 3 weeks, I just picked this guy. I don't know if he's the right guy, but at least he can get started. And I did that many times.
30 candidates is like a week's worth of work. I mean, that's yes. going to be 40 hours worth of work. That's a lot.
So we have installed videos where they have to create a video first so that we have a demo. But still, it's always, oh, can I cut corner? Maybe, you know, I can hire a week faster and not spend 10 hours more thinking about the right candidate, just get them going. And these usually were then hiring mistakes.
Well, if we're thinking long-term, we're thinking about, you know, what's our culture and do these employees fit into the culture and are they going to be around for a while? And are they going to serve, you know, our sort of our intangible foundational ideas? What's our vision?
If I look at the long-term side of things, a long-term thing is, should we look at branding? Should we improve our branding? Should I, you know, really take time as a small business? Should I put some effort and time into do a proper branding? I'm not Johnson & Johnson. Why should I have so much effort into branding?
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I hear that a lot. And no, I don't want to do 3 months of branding. So the first misconception is that it takes long. They think they have to hire an agency. It will cost them $30,000 and it takes 3 months. Because that's the traditional world. And I think you can do it much faster, the sprint way. What do you actually have to do?
Sure.
You have to select one logo, not even product logos, just one company logo. You have to pick one font. And yes, you need probably some sparring with people who can help you select the right logo and the right font. But it doesn't need to be 3 months and not 30,000. Then you have to create a set of slides, like just master slide, one master slide in whatever you are using, PowerPoint or Google Docs. Frankly, that's it. If those are the three most important things, and you can do that in a week, probably. But that's the start of you taking branding seriously. And then later on, it's really doing A/B tests of the messaging. Also that, what's an easy way of doing that? For example, I'm on multiple podcasts every day, 3-4 podcasts of other people. And before I get them, they don't know me. Before I am on their show, I send them 6 topics. So, and people can check it out. It's strategiesprints.com/speaking. There are 6 topics on there. This is how they prepare themselves. Okay, who is this guy, Simon, who was booked on my show? Oh, he has these 6 topics. And they pick one that's most relevant to their audience right now. That's an A/B test. After a month, you know you have a felt result because you know, okay, most hosts, they picked that one. Nobody picked this one. So you can eliminate the losers. You can run another round with the winners. This is how you A/B test messaging. That's part of branding. Some of them will hit home, like in a body way. They will either laugh or use them in their own language. And so you go, oh, that's a winner. I have a winner here. So mm-hmm. you don't have mm-hmm. to stop operations and do branding in a lab. You can do branding while talking to other people, while doing whatever you do, sprinkling in those A/B tests. And I think it's important for long-term business strength and business resilience. And people shouldn't skip it just because they think it's expensive and it takes a ton of time.
Yeah, yeah. The idea that we have to stop and figure this out and then start again, you know, that's really a false assumption because, you know, we need to be doing rolling optimization, you know, continuing to work while we figure out what's benefiting us and what isn't working. And we just start to slowly discard what's not working and go with what's working.
Yes, and I hear all the time, like, this week I was talking to an amazing entrepreneur in New York, and I go, cool, so who can I send you over? Would you like to jump on our podcast so we can promote your business? And she goes, Simon, give me 3 more months. I said, what? 3 more months to jump on a podcast? And she goes, yeah, because I am rebranding. I said, yeah, cool, rebrand. And then in 2 weeks, we can be on the podcast, right? No, no, the rebranding process takes 3 months. And I go, what are you doing? So, well, this is the traditional linear way of doing. You do a month analysis, then a month planning, then a month execution, right? It's the old way, pre-sprint. And yeah, that's not how you run a business in the digital age. Must be much more agile, much more integrated in your day. You can stop operations for 3 months.
Yeah, your competitors are not stopping while you stop. You know, there's no calling a timeout. Hey, everybody, let's stop. Nobody do any business. I've got a brand for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
And everybody will wait for you. When your competitor is one click away, they need 3 seconds to jump to the next offer on their phone. Yeah, what else do we need to cover?
We talked about short term, and have we gone enough into long term, or is there more to go over there?
Let me check my notes. One short term win and one long term win that I've had recently. So a short term is we are rolling out now the Jarvis for the Ironmans, which is really our 8 steps closing the deal, has now an AI that's live coaching you. So I'm getting coached, and we will roll it out for entrepreneurs in the coming weeks. I'm getting coached and I'm seeing, Simon, you're saying the price too early. Wait a moment. Simon, you are not visualizing what they're saying. So I have a live coach. This is directly helping me. That's short-term revenue generation. If you can just increase the win rate in your current calls. Let's say you have 5 sales calls per week scheduled right now. So if you have a 50% win rate, you are closing 2.5 deals. But if you get that to 60%, you have immediately in that same week optimized revenue without any long-term negative effects. So this AI thing, I don't think people should use AI too much for generating texts. Google is really getting good at detecting and penalizing those. But I think people should use AI more like a coach and like an assistant in the call. Like literally like Jarvis to Iron Man. You are in action. You don't delegate the action. You are in action, but you have support. Somebody who is analytical, who is less emotional than you. You are connected. You are empathetic. So you are in the emotion. But that reminds you of your talking points, your talking tracks, which are less emotional, are more around long-term success for your buyer. And that's a very good short-term thing. A longer-term thing, you know, when I became a father, I didn't want to travel anymore. Federico was born, he was 1 year old, he's now 8. He was 1 year old, and I had the feeling I'm a weekend father. I was flying on Monday, coming back on Friday.
I've done that.
And I hated it. I couldn't look Francisca, my wife, in the eyes and say, I'm a good father. I couldn't. I said to myself, I have to try everything that's in my possibility to ground myself. It must be possible. And I said, what if I do everything just via Zoom? This was 4 years before the pandemic, when everybody would, no, Simon, you cannot do that. It's a trust business. They have to see you. You have to fly there to Texas and golf 3 days for them. I don't even golf. And so I said, no, let me try. again, a very risky decision, but it felt so right. And then the second kid came and I said, all right, stop, let's go. I have to try this. Worst case, I go back to this mode. But what if it works? And so then the pandemic came and it worked. But that was one of these moments. And I'm curious how you solved it. But for me, it was, I have to try. If it doesn't work, I can still go back to this current state of things. That will be my plan B. But I have to try it. And so I grounded myself and everything became online, which made it possible that people like you in Texas and Alex in England and Michelle on the Philippines, everybody was now had the opportunity, right, to chip into this and to contribute and to build, because yeah, it wasn't local anymore.
Yeah, certainly the 100% travel is very tiring, and I just felt like I was forfeiting most of my life and just sleeping in hotel rooms and just didn't want to do it anymore. And yeah, and I think what I saw is, okay, I'm here with the client, you know, on site, but I'm doing all of this work with the home base via Zoom or Teams or whatever. And so, hey, that seems to work where we're doing all these conference calls back to the office. So why don't we just flip the script? You know, why don't we just put the client on the end of the Zoom and, you know, my boss can be next to me or on the other end of the Zoom. So I agree. I think, you know, the distances have been collapsed and we can do everything digitally.
So I'm curious about your verdict. Who is going to win, the short-term or the long-term optimization? After one word from our sponsors.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com.
Okay, we're ready for the verdict.
Do we have a winner?
I think we quickly need to review and define what each of these concepts are, short-term goals and long-term goals. So I view long-term thinking as really strategy and short-term thinking as tactics. And you know, what we want to do is, I think to be successful long-term, we've got to build toward long-term goals. And long-term thinking is the backbone of a successful business model. But we can't really get there without some stepping stones. And so I think, you know, the idea that short-term goals really serve your long-term strategy, we've got to come to the conclusion here that you need both, right? Because short-term goals is how the daily work gets done, right? And, you know, short-term goals back-to-back is how big accomplishments happen. So, like you said, if we want to build a brand long-term, if we want to build really long-term customer relationships and trust, we've got to think long-term. And where does my business fit into the market? You've got to make those long-term decisions and forego the clients that don't meet our, you know, our ideal profile. So to get to your long-term destination, you've got to have the short-term goals. So we've got to have both. And I think what we've got to do here is void the assumption that short-term success equals long-term viability, because you can't just think short-term. You've got to have both. So I'd say the verdict here is that they're both winners and you've got to have both going at the same time. You agree with that, Simon?
Yes. In reality, they are so meshed up, right? I was thinking, how do we do it actually? How did we do it this week? So Michelle and I had a meeting where we had the feeling, oh my God, she's working too much. And I said, please, let's sit down and prioritize. So we did sit down. We said, let's make a list of all the things that you are doing this week. So she came with a list. That was very tactical, right? This is my list of tasks of this week. And I said, okay, let's go to our focus card. Listeners might know the focus card. On one page, we have the 3 years, the 1 year, the 90 days. And so we saw her week. And then we looked at the 3 years and said, okay, which of those activities contribute to the 3 years? Which of those activities contribute to the 1 year? We prioritized them. So we pulled them up. The other ones, we pulled them down, because it's in Notion, you can pull up and down. And then the last third of them, we made red and added an X and said, okay, they are deprioritized. And so we basically, in one session, which was 40 minutes, we did both. We looked at the very tactical, the weak, but from the perspective of the 3 years vision. And then we deprioritized a bunch of tasks. They feel urgent and important, but they cannot be that important if they don't contribute to the 3 years vision. Because everything feels urgent and important, but when you double check with the 3 years vision and with the 1 year goals, it's easier to prioritize. You see the bigger levers. And so we said, okay, let's cut this, cut this, cut this. Are you sure, Simon? Said, yeah, let's cut it. You need to be in flow, not under constant stress. I need you 15 more years. Please don't burn out, okay? And we do the same thing. If I am stressed, we go over the same list. It's in Notion, it's called Focus Card. We go over the same thing. Simon lists out and then I ask and I get feedback. And people tell me, yeah, this is not really important. Okay, let's cut it. So it's really a mix, right? With the focus card, you can bring it in one place. So maybe some listeners don't know what is the focus card. Guys, you can download the focus card on strategysprints.com. You click tools, you go to strategysprints.com, you click tools, you download the focus card, and literally it's just a one-page strategy with the 3 years, the 1 year, the 90 days. So whenever you feel stressed, map out what you're doing right now this week, contrast it to your long term, 3 years, 1 year. It usually clarifies that, you know, probably half of it is really, really, really long term building up. And the other one just feels urgent and important, but you can probably cut it.
Yeah, I agree. When we started comparing the two, I immediately thought of the focus card because it puts the long term and the short term into perspective, you know, against each other. And you know, when I start a client on a sprint, we don't think about, okay, what are we doing tomorrow? It's, you know, where do we want to go? And so we do start with the 3 to 5 year time horizon and look at, okay, you know, what are your goals for this business? And maybe it's an exit strategy, right? I had a client that wanted, I want to build this up and sell it in 5 years. Okay, great. Let's start from there. And then we kind of work backwards to the closer time horizon. But I agree with the cutting, because every short-term goal or activity, it either fits into the long-term or it doesn't, and there's no middle ground. And so when you think, you know, somewhat polarizing in that way, you can get rid of things that you don't need.
Wow, Glenn, we are 39 minutes in, and the plan was to do just 20 minutes, but I'm so into this conversation. I love it, and I could do a couple more hours. But let's do it next week when we come back.
Absolutely.
And do you know the topic of next week? Let me check. I have it somewhere. The topic of next week is, should you go niche market or mass market? So should you start with super, super, super niched down? The riches are in the niches. Or should you go mass market, big market with more opportunity? We will find out. Same process. We will go through pros and cons. And by the way, people, if you have a question, a big decision, and you don't know We are happy to do an episode about that. Just shoot me on X at Simon Severino. Where can people shoot you something, Glenn? Is it glenn@strategistprints.com? Is it social media?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Glenn Oswald.
Oswald, everyone. Shoot him your topic. Shoot me your topic. We're happy to do an episode. And keep rolling, everyone. See you soon.
Avoid trying to do thousands of things that doesn't work. We have 274 templates for your business success. Reach your ambitious goals with one-on-one sprint coach. We double your revenue in 90 days.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com.